Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host, every Sunday morning, as you guys always know. And thank you again. Please tell everybody about this, your neighbor, your friends. It's amazing every day I talk to somebody about Medicare or their mom. I've counseled several families in the last week, let alone last month. And I'm glad we did the issue on cancer last year. Thanks to Brenda Hernandez and Wendy Sweet for the article. I just experienced at my age at 63, running to more people that are dealing with cancer. Unfortunately, I had a good friend of mine pass away last Saturday from pancreatic. Found out that very same day that another ball player friend of mine has got stage 4 myeloma. And it's been a struggle a little bit for myself personally, but thank you for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show. And please share the website, generations808.com, that has all our past radio shows. And if you techie guys want to call it podcast, you can call it podcast. All the past issues, all the events, Windward Mall, we have our Generations Magazine Windward Mall Senior Fair, and then later this year we'll have one at Kahala Mall, which is a big one, because a lot of seniors live in Kaimon Key. But anyway, as you guys know, we're all going to die at some point. We're all going to need, hopefully, we don't need a lot of care, but hopefully my goal is to, go to the hospital and pass on the next week, not be in a care home for 3 or 4 or 5 years, but it does happen quite a bit. And one of our newest partners is Mr. Paul Lum from Nursing Home Partners. Thanks for joining, and thanks for contacting us, and thanks for just being part of the community, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate joining you today.
Well, what I like about Cynthia, who handles all our marketing in the magazine, she told me about this guy's a nurse. I said, wow, you're a nurse. Wow. You're not too busy to be a nurse and do this business?
It's been a tough few years for sure.
Yeah.
But we definitely found the need out there in the community, and we wanted to help solve it for our community where we grew up and the people in Hawaii.
Yeah, you're from Hawaii, right?
Correct.
What school? You know what people say, what school you went?
Kalani.
Kalani. Oh, okay. Well, my sister-in-law went in Kalani. I have a lot of good friends who went in Kalani. Not a big deal, but you're younger. So I was actually kind of surprised you had started this company and you're young. Are you 40 yet?
I am.
Yeah. You are?
Over.
Ooh. Oh, so you know what that means, right? You got to get really serious, because I didn't get into finance until I was 28. I was working in restaurants, and my dad said, you got to get a real job at 28. And just what happened, I fell into this business, and I've been doing financing since 1988 and got in the reverse mortgage business working with seniors in 2002 when I was 42, and I'm 63 now. So don't call me the old guy. If you're really young, you can call me uncle, but if you're like 30s, 40s, don't call me uncle. I had that recently happen to me. Like, why are you calling me uncle? You're like 10 years younger than me, 15 younger than me. Anyway, Kalani, so let me ask you this. Nursing Home Partners, what got you interested in doing that as a solution for people? Did you have experience yourself?
Yeah, so it started, it's owned by two of us, my partner Vance Yamamoto. We're both RNs. We've been working with acute care, and we're both certified RNs, so I'm a critical care registered nurse, worked in the ICU for many years.
So how'd you deal with COVID, can I ask? Yep, it must have been pretty difficult, and thanks for your service, I'll tell you. You're still standing, though.
Yeah, thank God. it was definitely a tough situation, I think, for everyone as it started. Over the mutations of COVID, it's becoming more of, it's not as critical as it was initially. So definitely the first year, everyone was scared before vaccines and everything else. But hopefully we get back to where we were. And it feels like things are starting to come back now. So
yeah. Not to change the subject, but did you get COVID?
I did get COVID.
Yeah. Did you? So I have some friends of mine that are nurses, male and female. And I was surprised that this one friend of mine did not do a vaccine shot. I guess nurses had an option to do a vaccine shot. It wasn't a requirement.
It wasn't a requirement. They tried to push it out there for a little while. And if you did not, at the hospital that I worked at, you had to be tested once a week, was one of the criterias. So everyone has their own, you know, rights to
to
do
different
it
opinions
not.
About
yeah,
it.
For sure.
I don't change my oil every month or every other month. I don't check my tires every time I put in gas. But yeah, thanks for your service. And what a time in life in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to people every week about COVID and like, wow, who'd have ever thought this would happen to us in this kind of time of our world and our technology and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was definitely a change for everybody, you know, a change in the world. It just created a major change, like with a scare, a pandemic. I mean, it really shifted the, you know, who knows what the effects are going to be on children, people that wasn't in those schools, in those developmental ages. I mean, there's a lot of effects, even for seniors that we work with, being left at home, and a lot of them still scared to get out in public.
Yes. Is long COVID still a thing?
That's a great question. I think it's independent to each person. Some people still have effects, or, you know, but how do you really contribute that? And you can't really blame it. It's not like it left a mark on your body to really know. So
no, so true. Anyway, today, guys, is not about COVID. It's about Paul Lum's business here, Nursing Home Partners. Give us a little background.
Sure.
And did you have personal caregiving experience with a family or somebody? Was that the reason why you chose to go this route?
Yeah. So maybe about a couple years ago, my partner Vance, he had his grandmother in a foster home, and was kind of left with a 3-week notice that he had to find a new place. And where do people go? So us being experienced nurses for a while, we actually did not know. We didn't even know what resources were out there.
It happened, let me tell you.
Yeah. And not only did we not know, but, you know, to have somebody really walk you through and have that experience. So we started looking more into it and trying to find out what kind of resources are out there. And there wasn't a lot. And we wanted to kind of solve this problem for our community, for a lot of the seniors, and the families as well, that they're worried about their, you know, parents and how they're going to place them. So we decided to, we put in some work. We kind of visited all the places, got put everything together, and we started our company, Nursing Home Partners, to help people navigate the senior care, whether it be care at home or finding a care home to care for your loved one.
So you guys are mostly placement, or do you also do case management?
So we're a placement company, yeah. With our experience as nurses, we're able to properly assess a patient, kind of walk them through and match them with the right caregiver so they're able to be cared for in their time of their lives.
Well, I know a big need is case management also. I'm certified to do long-term care planning. I have a designation. I've done that for years, plus I've been in finance for a long time. I've trained hundreds of financial advisors, interns, insurance agents, and attorneys, and you're right, they don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And unless they have like a personal experience once or twice, but they think that's the way everything is. No, every case is different, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Now, so do you do an assessment, you said, as nurses?
Correct, yeah. So as a registered nurse, we're licensed to do a physical assessment and be able to really see the needs. But that's just as a nurse. So we also elevated our knowledge and experience a little bit more to be certified senior advisors and really understand the whole picture, whether, you know, put everything together, not just the physical, but also the social and the financials, and to make sure match the right.
So you advanced at both CSAs?
Yeah.
Or you just got it then?
Mm-hmm.
Like recently, like last month or two?
Recently.
So I went to the website and you're not on it. But I'm sure it will be. I am one.
Oh.
There's only four.
In Hawaii. Yeah.
And the second guy, this guy Kamaka, I got him to be one. He's a Medicare specialist. He's a friend of mine. He's young. But that's a great commitment. Paul, and I gave you advanced both your CSAs. Mm-hmm. Did you do it online or did you do it in person?
Online.
Yeah. It's a great course, isn't it? And I've been involved in this for 21 years, and I'm pretty versed in all those topics, but it's a very wide-ranging array of topics that we have to understand. That's why when I talk to other advocates and people in this industry, there's very few people like us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the website, I think it's like, well, so you two, I think there's only six now in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think if you have time to be a case manager also, because I don't charge people when I counsel families, but that's something that a lot of families do need. I just don't have the time to be a case manager, but it's really important to understand. And then slowly, as you get more involved with us, Paul, I get you to know all the different connections out there, a lot of nonprofits out there that are really servicing our industry. But what's the common question when they come? Let's say they come to you and say, you know, Paul, my dad's got dementia. Let's stick on a dementia track first, or Alzheimer's. What's that process when I come to you and say, I saw your article in a magazine and what do I do next besides calling you? What do you folks do?
Well, you know, first off, we see what the need is. Like, what kind of care does he need? Does he need 24-hour care? Does he just need care at certain times when the family is not home?
Mm-hmm.
Try to figure out exactly what the care is that he needs. And, you know, assessing the patient, because dementia has many different levels, and really knowing where they are, if they need to be fed, or, you know, if they just need to be reminded. So that's the first step, is just the assessment. And then connecting that with the family of what they can afford and where they are. So, you know, everyone has a different budget. Everyone has a different location. So it's really matching the care, the location, and the budget.
And so you mentioned early on about foster care. Can you give our audience a little bit of background on our information about what a foster care is? And are there different types?
Foster cares are a lot like care homes. They are care homes. There's about 1,200 here on the island.
Right.
And foster homes are certified by CTA, and usually to have 1 to 2 Medicaid patients and 1 private pay patient.
CTA? I've never heard that acronym. What is that?
Community... shucks, I'll
look at that. Not a big deal. You got to get CTA approved, by the way.
Yeah. To be for foster homes, they're managed. It's a overseas of the health.
Is that through the state?
Yeah, through the state
Department of Health.
Yeah.
The Department of Human Services.
Department of Health.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so, let's say I live in Kamakee. Do most people find something? Are there still do people stay in their community where they're at, or they move to where their kids maybe are at, so it's easier for them to drive and see you?
That's a great question. It really depends on the person. You know, there's care homes around the whole island. So if it's more convenient, and, you know, we do suggest that, so because family involvement is really important. So, you know, we try to place somebody in an area that it's convenient for them to get to, as well as having a good caregiver and it matches their budget.
Yeah. Well, but we'll talk about budget and financing that later on. But what about somebody has mobility issues? What happened? Does that affect the foster home? Because a foster home can have 2 Medicaid?
Correct. They can have up to 2.
Up to 2.
They have to get licensed for an extra. They start off with just 1 Medicaid,
They
can apply for the extra to have 2 Medicaids.
And do they have, that's like 4 or 5 bedrooms? And do they share the bedroom?
So they can be shared bedrooms or they can be private bedrooms. Every home is different.
Yeah, guys. And do you get involved with talk about Medicaid as well, and the differences in basically somebody that pays for your care versus you paying your care private pay?
Yeah, we do help families navigate that option. Dementia is a really hard one for Medicaid because they don't qualify for the level of care that they need for the long-term care for Medicaid. So that's probably the biggest problem for dementia patients.
So you're saying it's harder to get on Medicaid for long-term care if you have dementia?
Correct.
Yeah, I've heard that. there are places that do take it. It depends on the severity of whether it's mobility or memory issues, living issues, you know, whether they're combatant or not, right? Because right. they're vocal or not. Because I mean, what do you do? I've had several stories where the guy, they guy say, "Yeah, you got Paul, you got to move your dad back home. He's becoming unruly a little bit." And I would get calls up and goes, "What do I do, Percy?" I said, "That's a tough one, isn't it? What would you say to this? Something like kind of situation?"
You know, I would say a couple of different things. Number one, safety. You always got to make sure that they're safe.
Pretty much the first thing, yeah.
You kind of just got to walk them through and have patience. And a big thing about having patience is really having a caregiver break, having your own respite care for families that are caring for dementia patients. Just kind of to reset and, you know, bring them back to reality to care for their loved one.
Yep, they say that, right? When you go on an airplane, what does the stewardess in the front explain to you? Put your mask on yourself first, right? Because if the caregiver goes down, who's gonna step up? In fact, I have a good friend of mine that I talk every month or two. Actually, it's my old college roommate. And we still talk a lot, quite a bit with all my roommates. Actually, I have like four of them. He's coming back actually next week to help take care of his mom. Because he gives the sister a break. So he goes twice a year, mm-hmm. a week at a time, and give the sister a break.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, but a lot of them don't, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. And if you don't have that support, you know, some options is respite care. So some of the things that we also do is place people in respite care, whether it be 1 week or 2 weeks, just to kind of give the family some that time, whether it be the family needing to take a trip with their own children or
right.
So those are some options.
So when you say respite care, mm-hmm. I don't know a whole lot of places that take that. I know some of the CCRCs do that at a week or 2 weeks at a time, but what are you talking about, homes or nursing facilities or rehab places, or what kind of place are you talking about?
Yeah, some homes, some facilities, not all of them offer it. It's just kind of, you know, finding the right one for you.
And they're pretty much, is that all private pay though? Pretty much?
Private pay, correct.
Yeah. That's the hard part. Actually, the easy part, but isn't it kind of harder to find a place that would take only a client 1 or 2 weeks? Or is that easy?
That's a great question as well. It really depends. I had somebody call me 2 weeks ago asking for this week. And I said, you know, call me the week before because you don't know what the availability is going to be. There's always some place available. It's about really matching the place that's open as well as the location and price.
Yeah. But yeah, for right now, but I've been mentioning for years that down the road, it might be more difficult. In fact, if you saw the article the first Friday of this month, the advertiser article, did you see the article about nursing home beds?
No, I didn't.
I think it was the second Monday of this month. I can't remember when it was. I always keep articles because when I do my workshops, in fact, you should come to my workshops. I have you speak to our clients, our attendees. It was about the lack of beds and the shortage of beds and the shortage of certified nurses' aides. But yes. You must see that as well, right?
Yes, there's definitely a shortage of nurses' aides and beds, especially in hospitals. You know, hospitals have been full since COVID. It's been usually...
Is it still full?
I would say, yeah. Majority of them are still full. Of course, it goes up and down daily, but they're definitely more towards the full side.
So let me ask you this. Can you give our audience a basic... bullet points of some important questions to ask or certain topics to cover when you visit different places? What are some of the more popular questions people have or concerns?
You know, really the concerns are number one, financial. Number two is how many caregivers are there? Number three is are supplies such as diapers or wipes included?
They're not included?
Depends. Some care homes will charge a separate fee for that. Just to kind of have everything up front. We like the families to be fully informed.
Absolutely.
Other things might be does transportation, is that included? Transportation to a doctor's offices, visits. Uh-huh. Some caregivers provide that and some don't. Another thing might is seems to be a very popular one is the type of food that's cooked.
Oh, my goodness. I tell people that all the time. Food is really critical. I mean, I love Filipino food. I'm not to be biasing because a lot of caroms are Filipinos, right, which are they're great. But, yeah, I think food's really important.
Yeah.
But who cooks the food? Just the homeowner or whoever owns a house? Or do they cater there or they get Meals on Wheels or something?
Usually the caregivers. Most homes have a couple caregivers during the day to help support them both by cooking as well as, you know, cleaning and taking care of the patients and everything else.
But, I mean, but the food is all included, right?
The food is included, yes.
And does it vary between private pay and Medicaid?
As far as food?
Yeah.
Or no, they should both be included.
And and are there any homes that just take Medicaid?
There are some homes that choose to just take Medicaid.
But they can only take two, right? Well, you said one and they have to get a waiver for the second one.
Correct, for the foster homes. And the care homes also have the ability to take, the ARCH care homes also have the ability to take Medicaid if they choose to. That's an option.
Yeah, can you explain that difference? People hear that ARCH versus foster homes. So a foster home is a home, typically a home, residential home, and they have to be licensed.
Mm-hmm.
And typically they have... Do they have to have a nurse on the staff or just a certified nurse's aide?
Just a CNA.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
And for a foster home, maximum two, how many can they have in home? Like 12 other private pays or is there a maximum like three?
For foster homes?
Yeah.
They can only have one private pay.
One private pay?
Right.
I did not know that.
Oh. Yeah. Where the ARCHs, they have different classes. They also usually are CNAs. You can also be an RN or an MP. That owns
an MP?
Nurse practitioner.
Oh, NP. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that owns some of these
ARCH
homes. So they can be a little bit higher level. They have the ability to take, depending on what they're approved for, a type 1 is up to 5 patients. And if they're a type 2, which you see some of these larger facilities, you know, it can be 20, 30 beds. Sometimes it's just 8. You know, there's different facilities around the island.
And the ARCHs are how many Medicaid versus private pay can they have?
They can have all private pay. And most of them are all private pay. That's the benefit for them going through the additional courses to be an ARCH. But they also have the ability to take Medicaid, but that's most of their policy for their private policy for each individual ARCH is just to take private pay.
Yeah, an article I was reading recently it said about, I don't know, from what I talked to the state and city guys, it's about 93 to 95% full. Is that about right in your experience? Were you're able to still place people?
We're able to place people. I'll get a call in the morning and have them placed in the afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, at least secure the place. As long as the paperwork and everything comes through, then they should be ready to go.
Wow. And what about, do you guys do Neighbor Island as well or just Oahu pretty much?
Mostly Oahu. We do have connections through the Neighbor Islands, but however, majority of the care homes are on Oahu.
Right. I know it's very limited resources on the Neighbor Islands for almost anything. Rehab, let alone skilled care, memory care on that. But, okay. So real quick, so you and Vince, your partner, how long has he been around now?
So Vance and I opened this at the beginning of this year.
Wow, good for you. You have nursing background, which many people do not, right?
Yeah.
Most other companies do not have nursing background. So that's why when I first heard about Nursing Home Partners, you know, I was like, wow, that's really good. Because you have to have a good foundation.
And I
like the fact that you have the nursing experience. You've cared for people where, you know, when you get people in a business world that just do it to make money in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you'll find working with us and listening to the radio show more and more that we want people that are big senior advocates.
Mm-hmm.
We want people that really have passion for our clients. You know, I tell people I just serve the community. That's what I do. If you want a reverse mortgage, great. Not a big deal. But I still take calls, whether they know me or not. When I do workshops, they're able to come. We never charge a fee for the workshop. So that's one of the things that we do. We try to educate the people. But real quick, before we take a quick break, guys, what's the best way to reach you at?
Best way to reach us is give us a call. 808-468-9112, or you can check out our website, Nursing Home Partners. And you can
reach us. Is it .com or .usa or?
Yeah, nursinghomepartners.com.
Okay, because I've seen some weird thing, .tv. They're trying, you know, GoDaddy tried to sell you a website, Generations Magazine, generation808.us.tv.show, whatever. Like, okay, no, just .com. Yeah. Right. Paul, again, the number real quick before I forget.
808-468-9112.
We're here with Paul Lum from Nursing Home Partners. They're a placement agency basically helping people navigate aging, navigate where to go, the cost, things like that. But Paul's also is an RN, registered nurse. So that's what I really like about these guys. And you'll see articles. You're going to be doing articles for the magazine?
Yeah, we'd love to.
And we'll see you at the Senior Fair in May next month.
Windward Mall.
And Kahala Mall. I've got to check when Kahala Mall is. That's a big one. And you got to come to our Aging in Place workshop. Have you heard about that?
Ala Moana Hotel?
Yeah. So that's August 12th, guys, our 15th annual Aging in Place workshop. We didn't do it during COVID. We didn't do it in 2021. And we did it in 22, but because COVID is still around, we did it last year, October. This year is August 12th. It's a Saturday. It's all-day affair, as you guys know. You'll see it in our May, June, and July, August issue. You'll see it on our radio show. You'll see it on our Facebook page. And also, we're going to run one or two ads in the Star Advertiser. Because now we're distributed as Zippies, by the way, which we're happy about. The Aging in Place workshop is the big one. Mm-hmm. Before COVID, we had about 2,000 people. We take the whole floor of Ala Moana Hotel, 6 rooms of workshops. And then we have the big room, which this year, thanks to AARP, is going to be our big, big one there. They're going to have 6 different workshops throughout the day. And I think it's going to be, we're going to probably have 50 plus exhibitors. So hope we get the crowd. But guys, you got to, I would tell you valet at the Ala Moana Hotel or park downstairs and we'll validate that. I think they still charge you a few bucks even though you validated that. If you park at the mall, there is actually a phone app you got to use. And so if you don't have a phone or just park far away, I don't know how they're going to do that, but I know it's kind of a pain point for people that have to walk to the hotel. But anyway, yeah, you got to make sure you get a booth there. Maybe next year we'll have you speak about that, your business. Because, guys, as all our parents age, there's so many things you got to navigate and so many things you got to be concerned about. And it's something that at some point, I mean, I know a lot of you guys want to stay in the home, right? But at some point, they may not be able to do. Yeah. Now, do you say your partner took care of his grandma?
Correct. So his grandmother unfortunately had a stroke, and was unable to be cared at home. So she was placed in a care facility, and once they qualified for Medicaid, they was in a foster home, and unfortunately the foster home gave him a 3-week notice that she was changing her foster home and had to discharge the grandmother. So that's where he was kind of left really lost.
Why do you have to discharge her for?
For her, that particular reason, the foster home was actually changing status to an ARCH. And had
didn't
to,
want to take Medicaid.
Didn't want to take Medicaid.
That's kind of unfortunate.
It is. It is, and it happens. Yeah. And, you know, that's the kind of where we come in is helping our community find those resources and really walking them through the process. Because having 3-week notice is difficult for anyone to try to put that together.
Yeah, so guys, you want to plan ahead. I would tell you, if you see your parents, or your loved one, your spouse having issues of being able to care for themselves, to remain independent, I recommend you give Paul a call ahead of time and talk it through what's needed. And let Paul do an assessment, and then basically it's hard to obviously do time frames on when to move them out, but really things can happen down the road quicker than slower,
mm-hmm.
And things will happen like a stroke or a heart attack, that same thing. But let me ask you this: what about they come and say, Paul, I can't care for my mom anymore, but she doesn't want to move out. What do you do? How do you talk to these people?
Yeah, so we kind of give them the different options, see where she's at. And we actually do recommend aging in place. That's the best for the seniors if they can. It is a little bit more expensive, but we can connect with different services that can provide you the care in your own home.
And what, in your experience, how many hours do people take a day?
Great question. And they're all different. I know we currently have people that are 4 hours, which is typical for the very minimum. Most companies now are trying to do at least 8 so they can pay a caregiver a full shift. And we also have people that are 24/7, and they'll bring in 3 different caregivers through 8 hours
right.
each.
That could be really costly.
It sure can, yeah.
What's the average going rate now for home care?
If the average going rate is anywhere from $29 to $40 an hour.
Wow.
For home care, depending, you know, how long, what kind of care.
Right.
And if they need elevated services, it can be a little bit more. Sometimes we do connect them with nurses for home infusions, or if they need to get like a short-term antibiotic treatment, just different, depending on the need. That's where, you know, the experience of being an acute care nurse for over a decade, both Vance and myself, have that ability to match them with really what they need.
But a lot of times mom and dad doesn't want to go out of the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, let's say I'm taking care of you, dad, but I have to work. I keep on taking off work. So how do I get him to understand, okay, Percy, I know it's hard for you, you're still working, but I don't want to move out of this house. Or do I move into a care home, or do I move into a ARCH, or do I move into a CCRC, retirement community with levels of care? Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that?
Really individual basis, and that's where contacting us and kind of assessing us in the situation and letting us know like what works best for you, whether you're working. For some people, a good option too is adult daycare, if it's just you being away for work. But then if you say we're talking again about dementia, some people start to wander at night. And,
yes.
You know, you can't get a good night's sleep if you're always worrying. So they might want to have a caregiver around in the evenings, as well as sometimes in the evenings is when sundown happens.
Why is that? Sundowning is a term that later on in the day. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, I actually don't have a medical explanation to it.
Neither do I.
But
your experiences.
It's very common. It's just the change, the circadian rhythm, just change.
The what rhythm?
Circadian rhythm, your awake and sleep rhythm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
George, have you heard of that before? God, you're smarter than me. I've never heard that, but okay. I get it. I kind of get it.
Yeah. Okay. And that actually has a lot to do with like early onset of different like post-acute care delirium. Really just keeping people on a normal rhythm.
Whether like when you wake up, eat.
As well as, you know, light time during the day
right.
and dark at night.
Right.
Just different things to keep people in their normal cycle.
Oh, yeah. That's really important, man. I don't like drive at night. I have to sometime, but when I finish golf, I want to make sure I'm out of the sun, you know, so I can relax. Okay. So a lot of people don't know, how do you get paid? Which is probably a very good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, we set up our service to be a completely free service to our community. We will consult with our people of Hawaii for there's no fee to you. We actually have pre-negotiated terms with the placements that we put in. If you're at a care home, then we just collect a small fee, a one-time fee for the care home operator, so that they're still profitable as well, but it just kind of compensates for us.
Basically, it's like a realtor or a rental agent just trying to location for you to go to, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So guys, nursing home partner, the difference between you guys and everybody else is that you guys are nurses. You're RN, so you have that medical experience, which is key. I like the fact, Paul, that you guys do an assessment, because some people in this industry a lot of them don't do that, right? Because they're not nurses, right? But, so, and you mentioned also for Medicaid, so private pay versus Medicaid. What do you think the percentages are? Are more people going one way or the other way, you see?
Well, it's not a choice. It's really if you qualify for Medicaid, and that's usually because you don't have enough funds, finances, or assets, and both.
You guys get involved with that qualifying?
So we do, we don't do them ourselves, but we have either case managers in different organizations that actually help families, and we'll refer them over to them.
Yeah, but so it's Department of Human Services, right? Medicaid for long-term care? I believe so. Anyway, you got to go federal. Just Google it.
Yeah.
It's have 51 federal, I think 49 state on Medicaid funds. But so you can Google that. You go Medicaid for long-term care. The application is a lot, huh?
It is, yeah. 1147, and it's a huge process to kind of walk you through, and then you also have an interview as well through that process. We don't specialize in that, but we do refer to people that do.
Yeah, guys, if you have questions about Medicaid planning, you can give me a call or give Paul a call, because it's a little bit of a process. It is possible to get in a month or two, but you definitely need to get all your ducks in order. You need to make sure you have your bank statements right.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a property, but the biggest one here is you cannot be in a trust anymore. It used to be allowed irrevocable trust, but they don't allow that anymore. You cannot be in a revocable or irrevocable trust anymore. And that five-year look back is key, which is really important. And, of course, the financial assets is another story. But so where do you see the future of long-term care? Can I just, as a professional, as a nurse especially, are we living longer? Is it because of technology, medicine? What's going to happen 10 years down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're still trying to figure that out, because we are already living longer. In hospitals, it's very common to see people over 100 years old. You know, it used to be uncommon and wow, but
yes.
Now it's very common. People are coming into the emergency rooms and that are 100, 102, 106, and we're surprised. But technology has advanced the way we keep people alive, as well as pharmaceuticals to keep people going. So, yeah, as far as what I see for the future, I definitely see that we're going to need more care, because as people live longer, the care is just going to increase.
Yeah. So the good part about being healthy, you're not going to die right away. The bad part about being healthy, you're not going to die right away. Because I have several friends of mine, my parents, friends of mine, their parents, relatives, 10 to 15 years of dementia. I have one 20 years dementia.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. When I got in this business 21 years ago, I think the life expectancy was about 7.9 years. Today, it's like almost 10 years.
Mm.
It's gone up that much. By 2030, we're going to see double the number of people that have dementia in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? In regards to that topic, when I do workshops, I tell people, if you have an issue with your parents and you think it's that, get them diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys allowed to do that? Or a gerontologist or a geriatrician has to do that?
Yeah.
Or a neurologist?
Correct. We don't diagnose, but we can suggest them going to the different doctors for those.
Yeah. Do you know the geriatrician at Straub? Is that Dr. Ida Wen? Or Fujikami? I can't remember right. I know they spoke to that workshop.
Yozakawa?
Yeah.
I think he goes by L. Yoz.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Dr. Al, he used to be in Maui, by the way, 20 plus years ago when I first met him. But so what are some of the tips or one of the things that you want families when they call you? What are the things they should prepare ahead of time in their mind, or do they just come straight out and just call you and you give them all the answers? Are there some things that they need to pre-plan ahead a little bit?
You know, it depends on what the need is. We welcome early planning. It's definitely advised. But however, a lot of times our situations are spur of the moment. People are in the hospital and they're unable to go home. They need a care home placement. So we have to have those conversations there. We will visit the hospital, visit the families, and, you know, kind of see exactly what the needs are and put that together as quickly as possible. If you're somebody at home, and, you know, you're starting to run into early situations, like, you definitely give us a call. We're happy to talk with you and just kind of consult and give you some options. We're really just here to serve and provide you with the knowledge and options that are really hard to find. And so, you know, we wanted to kind of be that resource for, for our community.
So there are a few resources, guys, online that you can find, list of care homes. But I would probably suggest you call, unless you want to call every care home in your area, call Paul them, because you don't know what to ask, first of all. You know, I'll give a good example. I just bought a European car recently. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted one. And believe it or not, I happened to be at a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend goes, look at this car. It's beautiful, isn't it? I say, wow, that's one of the cars I've always wanted to get. And he said, I can't buy it, though. I said, why not? My wife won't let me. Oh, it was a used car. But he said, will he sell it to me the same price? He goes, yeah. I have it now, but I don't know anything about foreign cars. I didn't realize it could cost me $300 just to change oil. It cost me $300 when one bulb went out on my headlight. Mm-hmm. So, guys, a good story. I had back in the day, I had a BMW back in the day. I had a clutch. My clutch went out. My mechanic, friend of mine, who I thought was a friend of mine, he goes, oh, it's going to cost you $1,000 to fix. I called AAA. And the guy comes over, nice older gentleman. I was like 27 at the time. Older, he probably was like my age, 63, right? And he goes, what's wrong? He's towing my car into town to my mechanic friend's shop. He goes, what's wrong with it? He goes, oh, my clutch, I went down and it doesn't move anymore. Oh, that's just you got to fix the pin in the back of that thing. So tell your mechanic, that's going to cost you $1,000. Probably cost you $89 just for the part and hour labor. And sure enough. So, guys, my scenario is I don't have a clue. And I mean, I know a little bit about care homes and foster homes and arches, but you know, I've been visited a few, but I wouldn't know what to ask.
Yeah.
So, guys, this is your loved one. You got to hire professionals to help you navigate this stuff. And Paul doesn't charge, and it's a free service. There's a few companies that do that, but when Paul's an RN, his partner Vince is an RN, that's really taking it to another level, Paul. So I give you a lot of credit.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, is assessment really kind of the critical part of how we place people when you want to play, where to place?
Yeah, you know, just really matching all the aspects, the care, the type of care that they will need. What level are they? Are they able to walk? Can they feed themselves? Do they need to be wheelchair bound? And just kind of matching really the service, as well as like we talked about the area that they're looking for, the care, if they're able to afford having care in home or they need to be in a different area. We really try to help our community and the families, so it's not just a care burden, but a financial burden, because we want to make sure that it's really sad to see people work their whole lives and try to save up some money and it just go down the drain in care.
Yeah, you can save all your life and you got to go to a care home. You know, private pay is what would you say a average cost of a care home?
Depending on the area,
right.
People that are open to different areas, I kind of tell them right now with inflation, if you plan about $6,000, give or take.
Like $6,000 to $10,000, $6,000 to $12,000?
Well, I would say low side is probably about $4,000 now, and high side is a good $15,000.
Wow.
So depending on where. And also the type of care. Sometimes people have more mental health issues. Sometimes people need more medication, so you have to provide different things to control the mental health. There might be more situations where they have to have more caregivers on hand. So it could be a little bit more. But I would say about $6,000 is kind of a sweet spot, give or take.
Right.
Inflation, it really hurt everybody.
Oh, yeah, with COVID and everything. But so if it's mostly a certified nurse's aide, a CNA,
mm-hmm.
Are they allowed to administer medication?
CNAs are not allowed to administer medication. They can provide the families with the medications and give them at the right times that they need it. But they're not actually allowed to administer medication.
What about for, like, do they have injections and things like that? Shots they have to take on a regular basis?
Yeah, people do. Insulin shots or, you know, different types of shots that they need. People do that themselves, so they can do that themselves. Or a lot of if they're in a care home and they're managed by a case manager, they can also train the caregiver to provide those shots.
Oh, they can.
They can.
Oh, because for Medicaid, they have to have a case manager, right?
They do, correct. Yeah, as well as if you go into a foster home, you have to have a case manager as well. And if you're an expanded level, which means a higher level of care, you also have to have a case manager.
Yeah, that's so critical. Okay, so again, nursinghomepartners.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so give me your phone number again, Paul.
It's 808-468-9112.
Okay. So let me ask you this. I know you said Vince to help dealing with his grandparents. Mm-hmm. Did you have any involvement? Or you're young. Your parents are still probably young. What about your grandparents?
Well, I actually, about 4 or 5 years ago now, I actually moved my auntie into my house. So she's 93. Wow. And yeah, I'm caring for her at
right
home.
Right now?
Right now.
Oh, congratulations. I give you a lot of credit. It's so important. But you mentioned also something that I people need to understand, because I get calls from personal friends of mine. Goes, hey, they want my dad to move out. So Medicare covers the first 3 days of acute care, and after that, they have to go rehab, or they have to get better, or what? Medicare pays up to 100 days or whatever. Does it happen? And I hear this, that sometimes they do call, say, hey, listen, you got to move your dad out tomorrow or by Friday. Mm. Why is it so close? Why is it so immediate?
So out of like the hospital or care for short-term rehab or?
Care hospitals.
Yeah. So the hospitals, the way that they're paid nowadays is really difficult too, because they're paid on a diagnosis as opposed to the daily payment. So they, in order for them to be profitable, they have to move people along and discharge them in a timely manner. So a lot of times the hospitals are trying to push them to get out as soon as possible.
Yeah, I tell you, it's like strict 3 days, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough situation for families. With Medicare, they do have some rights that they can try to fight the discharge. So that's something, it sometimes can last a day or not, a day extra, I should say.
Yeah. What about, do you get involved in times where they do need to get qualified for Medicaid? And about how long is that process, by the way?
So the process, depending, it's usually anywhere from a month to 4 months, or 2 to 4 months, I should say, is sometimes even longer. But, you know, there's a lot of qualifying factors, like you mentioned, the 5-year
yes.
look back. And
I don't get involved in that either. I'll refer them out, but it is something that families... you got a plan, mm-hmm. and things can happen like strokes or heart attacks. It's so critical. Okay, but I'll see. That was kind of quick, huh, Paul?
Went by.
So give our audience some few words that you would advise them to do before they come to you. And then let's say you're living with your parents and they move out. Is that a freeing of stress? And how does the family deal with that? Do they visit them on a regular mm-hmm. basis?
You know, with our generation, a lot of people, the kids are living in the mainland. So that's
thought about that.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. Being far away, you know, over the Pacific Ocean, worrying about your parents, your grandparents, is really stressful for a lot of people. So definitely give us a call. We can at least provide you with some options and kind of let you know the resources that are available. And really, we're just here to help our community. There's no fee for our service.
Right.
That's
you know, a good part.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that, guys. Because it's stressful. Actually, my neighbor, Friday. My neighbor left last Saturday to Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be there 6 weeks.
Wow.
To help the family, because I think they're moving mom to a new facility. And dad can't deal with it anymore. But yeah. I mean, if they can come here and sit with you or call you or do a Zoom call, to plan this out is just,
yeah,
it's hard. That's a hard part of life.
So definitely planning a little bit early is definitely a great thing, especially you don't want to be caught in that situation where you have to go for weeks on end and leave your job and your own family, you know, traveling back and forth to care for your loved ones. Sometimes people don't have that vacation time.
Yep. And the cost of travel.
So definitely planning would be a huge thing.
Okay, guys. Anyway, Paul Lum, thank you very much. Again, your phone number, the best place to reach you at.
It's nursinghomepartners.com, and our phone number is 808-468-9112. And I'd like to thank you, Percy, for having us here.
Yeah, we got to go have coffee with you and your partner, Vince. And we can help you with different other connections and partners that we work with, and whether they're in a magazine or not, and there's some of the state agencies. So, guys, thank you very much. Nursing Home Partners, guys, it'll be on our website in about a week. So if you missed a call or if somebody heard about it, tell them it'll be on generations808.com in about a week or less. Okay? Anyway, everybody, have a great weekend. As always, aloha and live well.